Rehoboam's arrogance, the kingdom torn apart. Solomon rested with his fathers, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. 1 Kings 11 verse 43. Soon after coming to the throne, Rehoboam went to Shechem, where he expected to receive formal recognition from all the tribes, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. 2 Chronicles 10 verse 1. Among those present was Jeroboam, who during Solomon's reign had been known as a mighty man of valor, and to whom the prophet Ahijah had delivered the startling message, "Thus says the Lord, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to you." 1 Kings 11, verse 28, 31. Through his messenger, the Lord had spoken plainly to Jeroboam. "This division must take place," he had declared, "because Solomon has forsaken me, and has not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight, and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, as his father David did." Verse 33 in RSV. Yet Jeroboam had also been instructed that the kingdom was not to be divided before the close of Solomon's reign. "I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes." Verses 34-35. Although Solomon had longed to prepare Rehoboam to meet the coming crisis wisely, he had never been able to exert a strong influence for good over his son, whose early training he had sadly neglected. Rehoboam had received the stamp of a weak character from his mother, an Ammonite woman. At times he tried to serve God, but in the end he yielded to the evil influences that had surrounded him from infancy. In the mistakes of Rehoboam's life and in his final apostasy, we see the fearful result of Solomon's union with idol-worshipping women. The tribes had long suffered under the oppressive measures of their former ruler. Extravagance had led Solomon to tax the people heavily and to require much lowly service. Before crowning a new ruler, the leading men determined to find out whether Solomon's son intended to lessen these burdens. Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, and we will serve you." Wanting to counsel with his advisors before outlining his policy, Rehoboam answered, "Come back to me after 3 days," and the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you are kind to these people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." 2 Chronicles 10, verse 3-7. The mistake that could never be undone. Dissatisfied, Rehoboam turned to younger men who had been his companions during his youth. "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" 1 Kings 12, verse 9. The young men suggested that he deal sternly with his subjects and make plain to them that he would tolerate no interference with his personal wishes. So it happened that on the day appointed for Rehoboam to make a statement concerning his policy, he answered the people roughly, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." Verses 13-14. Rehoboam's expressed determination to increase the oppression of Solomon's reign conflicted directly with God's plan for Israel. In this unfeeling attempt to exercise power, the king and his counselors revealed their pride of position and authority. Many people had become thoroughly alarmed over Solomon's oppressive measures, and these now felt that they had no other choice than to rebel against the house of David. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? To your tents, O Israel. Now, see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. Verse 16. The breach that Rehoboam's rash speech created proved beyond repair. The 12 tribes of Israel were divided. Judah and Benjamin composed the southern kingdom of Judah under Rehoboam. The 10 northern tribes formed a separate government, the kingdom of Israel, with Jeroboam as ruler. This fulfilled the prediction of the prophet that the kingdom would be torn apart. The turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word. Verse 15. When Rehoboam saw the 10 tribes withdrawing their loyalty from him, he realized that he must act. Through Adoram, one of the influential men of his kingdom, he made an effort to appeal to them and win them back. But all Israel stoned him, Adoram, with stones, and he died. Startled, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. Verse 18. At Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, "Thus says the Lord, You shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me." Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord. Verses 21-24. For 3 years Rehoboam tried to profit by his sad experience, and in this effort he prospered. He built fortified cities and made them very strong. 2 Chronicles 11, verse 12. But the secret of Judah's prosperity during the first years of Rehoboam's reign lay in recognizing God as the supreme ruler. This is what gave the tribes of Judah and Benjamin an advantage. The record reads, "Those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years." 2 Chronicles 11, verse 16-17. Rehoboam fails. But Solomon's successor failed to exert a strong influence for loyalty to Jehovah. He was naturally headstrong, confident, self-willed, and inclined to idol worship. Nevertheless, if he had placed his trust wholly in God, he would have developed firm faith and submission to the divine requirements. But as time passed, the king put his trust in the power of his position and in the strongholds he had fortified. Little by little, he gave way to inherited weaknesses until he threw his influence entirely on the side of idol worship. When Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1. The people whom God had chosen to stand as a light to the surrounding nations were seeking to become like the nations about them. As with Solomon, so with Rehoboam, the influence of his wrong example led many astray. God did not allow the apostasy of Judah's ruler to remain unpunished. And it happened in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt. And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, You have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak." Verses 2-5. In the losses they suffered by Shishak's invasion, the people recognized the hand of God and for a time humbled themselves. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, so as not to destroy him completely, and things also went well in Judah. Verses 9-12. The aftereffects of Rehoboam's apostasy. But as the nation prospered once more, many turned again to idol worship. Among these was King Rehoboam himself. Forgetting the lesson that God had tried to teach him, he fell back into the sins that had brought judgments on the nation. After a few inglorious years, Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah his son reigned in his place. Verse 16. At times during the centuries that followed, men of moral worth occupied the throne of David. Under their rulership, the blessings resting on Judah extended to the surrounding nations. But no one ever entirely uprooted the seeds of evil already springing up when Rehoboam ascended the throne. And at times, the once favored people of God were to fall so low as to become a symbol of scorn among the heathen. Despite these idol-worshipping practices, God in mercy would do everything in his power to save the divided kingdom from complete ruin. And as the years rolled on, and his plan for Israel seemed entirely defeated by people inspired by satanic agencies, he still showed his gracious intentions through the captivity and restoration of the chosen nation. The tearing apart of the kingdom was only the beginning of a wonderful history that reveals the long-suffering and tender mercy of God. And the worshippers of idols, in the end, were to learn the lesson that false gods are powerless to uplift and save. Only in loyalty to the living God can anyone find rest and peace.